Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Father, I just pray that you would be with us three, Father, as we share your word and honoring our mothers. Father, may your spirit be moving among us and keep us from saying anything that's wrong. Father, I just pray that you would bless this time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning there's three of us taking Brandon's place, so we're each going to share something short about honoring our mothers. So what I did this morning is I'm going to be talking about two different kinds of honor with two different women and giving you the cliff notes. Because as I started to study all this, there's like hours and hours of commentary on honoring your mother, honoring your parents. So I'm going to try to keep it short. So we come here today to honor our mothers. The definition of honor is to have high respect and great esteem. In Ephesians 6:1, Paul even breaks it down as far as telling children to obey their parents. And in the second verse, he goes into honoring your parents because it's just and right. So it all works hand in hand. So parents, I hope this morning that you are teaching your children to honor your spouses. And not just on Mother's Day and Father's Day. Not just in the morning helping your children to give them an undercooked breakfast, which happened in our family quite a bit. But I still appreciated it. But it's not just that. It's it goes deeper than that. In Exodus 20:12, the fifth commandment, we are told to honor our fathers and our mothers. And the blessing from that is that their days would be long in the land. And we need to remember that it's one of the Ten Commandments. It's a command. It's not a request from God. The first four deal with our relationship with Him and honoring Him. And the next six deal with how we honor our fellow man. Especially in the first of all those six is honoring our mother and our fathers. Showing honor to our parents is also the key to societal stability. As we look around and we see the dishonor that's going on in today's society, we see how messed up our society is here and around the world. And so it's one of the reasons God puts it as first in our role of dealing with our fellow man. Ezekiel 22:7, when he's talking about the reasons why the Israelites were hauled off into Babylonian captivity, in verse 7, he talks about one of the reasons being that the Israelites had failed not only to honor their mothers and fathers, but they failed the widows, the orphans, and their whole society was in decay. It was messed up. Because of that, they were failing to honor God correctly. And so that was a reason for not being able to live long in the land. God gives us these warnings. He's patient with us, but His patience doesn't last forever. So honoring our parents is important. I'm going to go ahead and talk about two different kinds of honor. The first woman that we know very well, it's in a lot of sermons on Mother's Day. And it's the Proverbs 31 woman. So if you want to, you can turn to Proverbs 31. I'm going to go ahead and read it, make a couple of comments on it, and then move to the next. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, the son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy king. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink. Lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. But open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth and judge righteously and defend the rights of the poor and needy. And after his mother gives him some great advice on being a king, then she goes into talking about what to look for in a wife and a mother. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She arises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her by saying, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm and deceitful is beauty, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. This prophecy, or it's an oracle, it's also called a prophecy, starts off with a mom, a wise mother, teaching her son. She goes into talking about what to look for a wife and a mother, and the chapter ends with a wife receiving great honor and respect from her husband and from her children. They call her blessed. They themselves are blessed for having a mother like that. Her husband in verse 29 praises her and all that she does. But verse 30 is what says it all. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So one of the greatest honors of a godly mother is having to set a godly example for your children. Leading your children and even your husband, as Paul talks about, to the Lord by the way you conduct yourself. So no matter what the world says, it is a great honor to be a wife and a mother, to be godly. As I said before, the commentaries on this chapter will take probably more than an hour to go through, and I don't have that much time, and I don't even think I could do it justice unless I sat there and read them all. But I'm going to go ahead and talk about a different kind of honor and respect that was given to another mother. She wasn't wealthy like this one. She wasn't able to provide for her children the way this one was. As a matter of fact, she wasn't respected or praised in the gates of the city. For most of her life, maybe even for all of her life, she was suspected of being immoral. Her son was accused of them not even knowing who his father was. Yes, we're talking about Mary, the mother of Christ. So if you turn to John 19:26. The reason I say this, that she probably was never respected, was because of, even when Christ started his ministry, the Pharisees said, "Hey, we don't even know who your father is." So this stigma followed her whole life. I mean, even to the point when Christ is on the cross, we don't read about any of his brothers being there. Most likely they scattered like the disciples did. There was no one there at the cross other than the brave women that helped support his ministry and his mother and John. And John records in 19:26, it says, "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home." And one thing we know when you read the scriptures, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, we know that widows without family were most likely destined to die of not being taken care of. If she didn't have any personal money of her own, if her husband wasn't wealthy and left her enough money to survive, without children, she was going to be destitute. But Christ, bearing the sin of the world, including the sin of his mother, she helped put him up there on the cross along with the rest of us. He's beaten almost to the point of death. He's hanging there on the cross. He's forsaken by his father, his real father. He's in so much pain, he's at the point of death, he's in incredible agony, because Christ was fully human as well. So he's feeling all this pain. And yet, he looks down and sees his mother and fulfills his duty as the oldest son. He looks out for his mother. He honors her by making sure that she's taken care of. Matthew Henry comments that Jesus called her woman. And sometimes we look at that and we're like, wow, that doesn't seem very nice. But Matthew Henry's comment on that is, by calling her woman, he detracts from the fact that she's his mother. By calling him mother, he feels would have even increased her agony of seeing her son dying on the cross. So even in that, just calling her woman, he's honoring her. So we see there's two different ways of showing honor. There's the showier way of praising and blessing our mothers and making it known to everyone how good she is and how much we love her. But our mothers don't have to be the perfect Proverbs 31 woman to be honored. It's our call and duty from God to honor our mothers and our fathers. We don't have a choice. It's a command. Some of us have better mothers than others and have done a better job. But God doesn't leave it up to that about whether they're the Proverbs 31 perfect mother that does everything right. He commands us to honor them. Happy Mother's Day.
Very nice, Rick. You did a nice job. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers. I was blessed enough to have two mothers. I was adopted. My biological mother decided not to keep me for whatever reason it was. So I was adopted by the Fortunatos. I was born at Diagatti. Can't get away from that Italian thing. But my biological mother had the option to get rid of me before I was born. And she didn't. Some women have chosen that option to adopt their children out, and some have not. Some have decided to keep them, and some have decided the other alternative. Our God said he will forgive. The fifth commandment does say to honor thy father and mother, so the days of your life will be long in the land. It's Exodus 20:12. Although Rick and I did not collaborate, but this is a point worth saying more than once, obviously. Woodrow Wilson in 1914, former president of the United States, decided that for whatever reason, mothers need to be honored publicly. For the task of being a mother is no easy task. She bears her children's burden. She cries when the children cry. She bears the birth pains. And for those who have raised other people's children, she still bears the pain when their children suffer. We live in an imperfect world. I was telling somebody, Blaine this morning, I said, one of the sad things I think about sometimes is when I go to be with my Lord, that I'll miss my wife. She helped raise my children. She helped me live when I was in the hospital and very sick. But the fact remains, when we go to be with our Lord, the relationship that we have with Him will be so exponentially greater than our marriages to our spouse. I look at women throughout my lifetime and I see some good and I see some bad. And I see how some children have grown up to be terrors. And I see some children grow up to be practically saints. It's all in God's providence. It's our task and our mother's task and mother's task to raise the children up in the way they should go. In fact, in Titus 2:3-5, which I'm going to read right now, it says older women have an obligation, by the way, whether you are currently a mother or have been or whatever. Remember, everything in this Bible is Theonoustos, God inspired, everything, not just the red letters, which I no longer have a red letter Bible. But in Titus 2:3-5, it says this: older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, and not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, and being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And that's the purpose. The purpose isn't for us is for his glory, because we are imperfect. And I think sometimes the more imperfect we are, the more he receives the glory when people see us as a representative of him. Me being the most broken of all of us here, I believe, or next to, or at least the top five. I want to encourage you young women who will be mothers, Lord willing, to be a good mother, to be a godly mother, to ask God for his guidance, to be obedient to the Lord. And those are going to be husbands or wives of husbands. I ask you to do the same thing. The Bible commands us to do these things. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We have one life to live, and we should live it for God and his glory. If you're raising somebody else's children, God bless you. You don't necessarily have to experience childbirth to be a mother. Happy Mother's Day, and may God bless you.
Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day for the third time. We were asked to give encouragement to mothers today. Thank you, Sonny and Rick. We did not collaborate, but we did give each other an idea where we were going to go so we wouldn't step all over each other's toes. But no, the point can't be made enough that God commanded the honoring of our parents. But mothers, I want to give you encouragement this morning. As was even mentioned in Sunday school, we ought to recognize that all things are from God's hand. God made you a mother. We cannot miss this point. God alone is the giver and creator of life. God specifically and specially intervened in making mothers several times in Scripture. This is labored in the Scripture. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Elkanah and Hannah, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and Mary, as Rick pointed out. Our God is sovereign. He makes mothers for his purposes. Some he makes mothers by birth, and others he makes them by adoption. And then others, he makes them mothers in the family of God, as Sonny read. Just because you are not a physical mother of a child does not mean you are not a mother in the family to younger women in the congregation. But I want to point out the first mother. In Genesis 13, it says, Adam named her Eve, because she was mother of all the living. Even though she was not a mother at all at the time, Adam named her in faith, trusting God would bring forth a deliverer from the woman, because God said he would defeat Satan through the seed of a woman. Charles Spurgeon comments, she was not a mother at all, but as the life was to come through her by virtue of the promised seed, Adam marks his full conviction of the truth of the promise, though at the time the woman had borne no children. So I submit to you, God makes mothers, even if you didn't intend to be one. Young women, I want to encourage you. Culture lies about the importance of your job as mom. Culture says you can't be a mother because you cannot be a strong, independent woman if you're a mother. Culture says a mother loses her individual identity. And culture says being a mom is the worst thing that can happen to a woman. And that's why we have this plague of abortion. But God has placed you as mom for a purpose. I want to start out with four of those purposes this morning. He placed you a mom, number one, for the temporal welfare of your children. He placed you as a mom for the eternal welfare of your children. He made you a mom for your sanctification. And he made you a mom for your witness to the world. If you turn with me this morning to Deuteronomy 6, God has charged mothers to raise their children in the Lord. This charge addresses points 2, 3, and 4 that I just mentioned. In Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, God lays down statutes. But in verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Mothers, teach, train, disciple. We speak of our Lord in all times. Tell your children what he's done. Tell them who he is. How great a God that we serve. In Deuteronomy 11, this point is reiterated. If you'll flip over a couple pages, I want to read to you verses 1 and 2 and then 18 through 21. 11:1 says, "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always, knowing today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm." Then Moses writes a short retelling of the history of what God has done for his people. He directly says, "I'm speaking to you. I'm not speaking to your children. You tell them what I've done, my mighty works, my wondrous deeds." And then in verse 18, after he recounts the history, he says, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates." And then, almost echoing the fifth commandment, "that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land, which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of heavens above the earth." Proverbs has much to say on teaching children, but just a couple. Proverbs 29:17 says, "Discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad." And Proverbs 26, "Train a child in the way that they should go, and when they grow old, they won't depart from it." I want to caveat this. This is not a promise. This is not a guarantee. God alone is sovereign in salvation. But there is truth in this principle that if you have trained your children in the Lord, God's faithful to his people. For just a moment, children, as it's been pointed out, you are to honor your parents. Your parents are given to you by God for your instruction. And Proverbs talks at least three times, not only about a father's teaching. Proverbs 1:8-9 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And Proverbs 23:25, do not forsake the teaching of your mother. It will be a wreath of grace to your head and a crown of joy upon hers. God takes seriously his charge upon mothers for the teaching and instruction of their children. Children, God takes seriously you following and obeying the mother he gave you to raise you. Mothers, Scripture repeatedly mentions godly mothers and grandmothers and shows the impact that they have on their families and the world. Mothers who are faithful to disciple their children have an everlasting impact on the watching world. The book of Kings mentions several mothers. I'll give you a short list. One of the first queen mothers that we ever looked at was Abijah. She was the mother of the 13th king of Judah, Hezekiah. And she's mentioned in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings and the book of 2 Chronicles. Her son, it is said, did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he's remembered as being a good and godly king. Abuzzah was the mother of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. He was crowned at 25 and reigned for 25 years. And Scripture says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Jechaliah was the mother of Azariah, king of Judah. He was crowned at 16 years of age and reigned for 52 years. And the Scripture says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Jehoadon was the mother of Amasa, king of Judah, and he was crowned at 25 years of age and reigned for 29 years. And the Bible said he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And Jerusha was the mother of Jotham, king of Judah. He was crowned at 25 years of age. He reigned for 16 years. And the Bible says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. We see a pattern. If these men did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, it seems to me that Scripture is making the point that they were taught. Just as we know the kings were told to write the book of the law, they would have been familiar with that book because these mothers told them. And that doesn't end in the Old Testament. We get one example definitely in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:14-15. Scripture reveals to us that Timothy's mother, Eunice, and grandmother Lois were teaching the Scriptures to Timothy. Paul writes, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you have known those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have made known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." These mothers taught their children truth, and God blessed that teaching. God used these children of faithful mothers to change the world. If you don't believe having a godly king is a good thing, look at what happened in Israel under ungodly kings. We see Timothy raised up, written about in the New Testament, leading churches because of his mother's teaching. So I encourage you, God promises blessing to those who are obedient and walk in faith. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations for those who love him and keep his commandments." The Great Commission in Matthew tells us that God will build his church. So you do the work, relying on God and trust Him for the fruit. So why did God make you a mother? What is this Christian motherhood a means to? I would submit that it's nothing less than for the glory of God. All the other ends that we've listed out, cover and culminate in this one. This is what they exist for. God is glorified when you seek the temporal welfare of your children. When you feed, clothe, and clean. R.C. Sproul says, the mundane becomes holy when done for the Lord. So wipe noses and hinies to the glory of God. God is glorified when you seek the eternal welfare of your children. God is glorified when you are sanctified to be more like His Son through mothering. God is glorified when a watching world observes a faithful Christian mother. God made you a Christian mother for His glory and for your joy. Let's pray. But we ask that you would do this, that you would glorify yourself in the mundane tasks of mothering. We ask that you would teach our mothers to care about the eternal welfare of their children. We ask that you would sanctify them through this process of being a godly mom. We ask that you would glorify yourself to the world as they see how we interact as families. Lord, we ask that you would bring these mothers joy in serving you in this role that you've placed them in. We ask as we go today to a time of fellowship that you would bless the food, that our fellowship would be sweet, that we would honor the mothers you have placed at New Hope. And the benediction this morning. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.